We live in a society in which 97% of our transportation is fueled by oil, and it is very difficult for us to, in the short run, move away from oil. We can't substitute other fuels for it in the near term the way we could substitute one type of, say, grain for another if our imports of rice were cut off. We'd eat more bread and pasta. One can't do that with respect to oil, at least not in the near term. The oil production and distribution system is complex. It's a complex system, and it's subject to unintentional and accidental interference that can produce cascading failure, say from a hurricane striking Houston and its refineries. But it is also susceptible to malevolent interference. Bob Baer's recent book, Sleeping with the Devil, opens with a scenario in which a hijacked airliner is flown into, by terrorists, is flown into the sulfur clearing towers at Abqaiq in northeastern Saudi Arabia. The importance of those clearing towers is that virtually all Saudi crude, well, about three-quarters of it, flows through them every day. And so if they are taken out and have to be rebuilt, one would take 6 or 7 million barrels a day of oil offline for well over a year, sending oil prices skyrocketing substantially above $100 a barrel, perhaps reaching up toward 200. That type of malevolent interference with the oil distribution network could be much more damaging than the malignant interference of, let's say, a hurricane hitting Houston. People say, well, whoever runs things in that part of the world is going to need to export their oil, so they'll work very hard at it to try to repair and move along. Well, they only have to export a great deal of oil if they want to live in the modern era. If they want to live in the 8th century, they don't have to export very much. And bin Laden has said that if he has anything to do with it, the cutbacks in oil production would be such that $200 a barrel would be approximately the right cost, the right price. There are a number of things we can do about this situation in the Middle East. One aspect of it that always rubs me the most the wrong way is that since we borrow $250 billion a year, about $1 billion every working day, just to import oil, and since a large share of that goes to the Middle East and finds its way into, for example, teachings in the madrasas of Pakistan by Wahhabis from Saudi Arabia, teaching hatred of other Muslims, Jews, Christians, repression of women, all of the basic Wahhabi teachings. In a real sense, this long war against Islamist terror and Islamist fanaticism in the Middle East is a war in which the United States pays for both sides. We pay for the other side every time we pull into a gasoline pump. And, of course, we pay for our side in the defensive measures and the counterterrorism measures that we must take. This also is not a good plan. One of the things that is beginning, along with, I believe in time, plug-in hybrid electric vehicles and diesel from waste products, one of the things that is starting to make a difference is the prospect of being able to move away from so much reliance on gasoline and move toward ethanol from cellulose, as I believe the President mentioned earlier in this conference, former President Clinton. And that is entirely the result of being able to produce genetically modified biocatalysts. Yeast substitutes for the C5 sugar that comes from hemicellulose, and enzymes, genetically modified enzymes that can hydrolyze the cellulose, making it available to produce sugar as well. That genetic modification makes it possible to use something like 80% of what grows, including prairie grass such as switchgrass, rather than having to rely on less than 1% of what grows, the starch from grains such as corn. This huge increase in feedstocks, which biotech is making possible, can, within a relatively few years, within two decades anyway, help us move toward being able to supply over half of our gasoline needs from just the soil bank lands, mainly here in the Middle West, growing crops such as prairie grass, such as switchgrass. We found this on the National Energy Policy Commission, on which I now serve, and it is an amazing possibility. That possibility exists because over the course of the last couple of decades, creative scientists and those who work in fields such as genetically modified organisms are making it possible.